My name is Adam Lansky. I am a sound artist and music engineer, producer, and I work in Salem and Portland, Oregon.
You were recently involved with a project called the Racket Lotion Suite. Do you want to tell our listeners about it as a recording project and about how you came up with the concept?
Most specifically, I would like to talk about the Living on the Edge piece, which is a three-movement piece, which is a part of the larger Racket Lotion suite. And basically, it is my fourth album that's going to be self-produced. And it's basically my perspective on what is happening globally and locally, politically, and environmentally, just using music as an art form to express that. I'm experimenting with some new things musically for myself that are going to really strongly differentiate it from my past work and hopefully be something interesting for everyone to listen to.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your past work and then how this is a departure and growth from it?
The last three records were done under the name Quad Killer, and it consists of an EP along with two full-length records. In these past three albums, I'd done all the music myself and had a vocalist, Aunt Thomas, who now lives in Europe. It was largely spacey electronic hip hop. Where I'm hoping to go with this is have a more organic feel. For example, I'm bringing on musicians to collaborate, and so far, including myself, there are 11 different collaborators in this, in what I'm looking at as an open source music project.
And so this, the actual music departing from spacey electronic hip hop with the Living on the Edge suite, do you want to talk about the actual recording of it at the Michelle's Pianos and how that not only a collaborative departure, but also a departure in sound and how it came about and how it went?
My music has always been autobiographical in a way, and I incorporate into it new ideas and new techniques as I go along. So I, by trade, am a on-site location music producer. I record a lot of concerts in venues and in places where a performance is happening with a crowd. The majority of what I record lately has actually been classical piano, orchestral, and chamber music. And so I've grown really fond of the idea and the sound and feel that is a consequence of recording everybody at the same time in the same large room. And I knew that stepping onto this new set of music, in particular this piece, Living on the Edge, I knew I wanted a Steinway piano. For example, and the only place I know of in town that has a 9-foot Steinway that is in tune and sounds beautiful and has a great big room with an angled wooden ceiling, concrete floors, that's Michelle's Piano in downtown. Also, I've developed a working relationship with them over the past year or so, and it just really fit the bill perfectly.
And when you talk about the Steinway, your face kind of lights up, which I'm not sure if they can sense that. You love the Steinway. What is it about the Steinway for those people who maybe don't know anything about pianos?
Well, different pianos, almost like a different food or beer or any different musical instrument, has a certain sound to it, a certain texture. It has what you could call complex overtones. Pianos like Yamahas have more glassy and clear overtones. And typically, these are the kind of pianos, the Yamahas, that you'll find on pop recordings because they're very punchy. But I wanted something that had more color to it and a little more musicality, musical depth in a way. Also, I knew that the pianist that I was bringing on this project, Nick Poolwijk, is a classically trained pianist, and I felt like he would be most at home piloting the 9-foot Steinway.
So I'm interested in how the collaboration happened in this public space, how the public came to it. But I think before that, we have to maybe set a little bit more of the Living on the Edge mashup, I suppose.
I think there's a common misconception about the original song. I believe a lot of folks hear Living on the Edge by Aerosmith, and they think, ooh, these rock stars living on the edge, consuming drugs, staying up late at night, probably playing Nintendo, right? But the truth is, the song was actually written in response to the Los Angeles riots of 1992. And I was 9 at the time, and so I didn't understand what was going on. All I knew was that people on TV looked upset. There were a lot of really upset people. This song was written in a time when it was actually really cool, I think, for mainstream pop to address political issues. Madonna did a lot of this in the 80s and early 90s too. You don't see that anymore. And so after a lot of police brutality incidents last year, I really felt like I needed to have a response to that. And I think it's vital, especially in the artistic community, that we have creative and nonviolent responses to tragic events and to the hurtful things that we all do to each other. You asked about musical process, and how does this all come back to us in a room playing this piano and everything? What I decided to do was focus it on the fact that everybody is a universe. Every person is a universe of experience and ideas, and we all have different ways of experiencing these tragedies and internalizing them and later externalizing them. What I decided to do was, rather than work on the music myself alone as I had done before, because I'm limited, I'm just one person, I thought, well, I need to reach out into the community and find people who not only understand this message, this calling for peace, but also believe it. So what I did was, after finding folks that were interested in the project, created a musical context. And within this context, everybody is really kind of free range. They inject their personal experience and their ideas and their feelings about these really powerful events that, whether or not you feel like they directly affect you, they have a direct effect on our collective reality. Rather than dictating to them what to play and how to play it, it was more like, okay, this is the idea, and here's where I feel like the piece is coming from. How do you feel about that? It was very important for me to have a female vocalist singing on this piece, because as we're talking about inequality in society and problems with equity, I think it's very important that women have large roles as peacekeepers in the United States and in the world. I think as long as we live in a society where women are objectified and their experiences and ideas are minimized, then there will be chaos. And so what happens over the course of 3 days at Michelle's piano, we started with just listening to the original and ended up with the music file that I gave you that is still a work in progress, and it's a cliffhanger because there's still two other movements to the piece that are being developed right now.
I actually had no idea that Aerosmith song had anything to do with Roddy King, and
it puts a really different context on it, doesn't it?
It's still hard to hear in that unless someone tells you. It's just kind of a really interesting song to then delve deep into, but then to do it for you to do it collaboratively with these people who are also interested in the message, taking away all of that rock bravado power behind it that I think also helps muddle the message coming from Aerosmith. I feel like when I'm listening to that kind of like orchestral music, that there is a lot more of emotional stuff that's happening. That's not just like power, electricity. And so it's an interesting kind of subtle energetic thing that is happening by choosing these instruments and this collaboration.
I think that every artist really kind of has a choice of what is their body of work going to be about. And I personally feel a very strong obligation to use what creative ideas I have to talk about these things and to address these things that I see as much bigger issues than dancing or simply having a good time or maybe something that happened to me personally. I want to talk about things that are more universal and more global. And so looking back on what you said about Aerosmith and their rock bravado, I think also they have a choice to make. Well, do they want to still be signed to their label or do they want to go rogue and join the Occupy movement, basically? And I think that I don't know what it's like when you get up that high on the ladder in society, but I think that their priority was probably more on maintaining their lifestyle than on really making a statement. But then again, when that song came out, that was a major, major Billboard hit. So to respond also to what you said about how it felt for you to listen to it, that makes me feel like a lot of our decisions were correct. And it comes down to what's called a concept of prosody. And prosody is a songwriting term that deals with making certain that each element of your composition inspired by and aimed at a specific concept for a specific reason where nothing is random. This really kind of speaks to my involvement with the orchestral world a lot recently, where I don't come from that world. I was not raised from 4 years old playing violin like a lot of these professionals were. This is something that I fell into as a matter of love and as a matter of profession and career development. I think the reason that so many of these pieces from even hundreds of years ago are still very universal and very listenable is because they were composed with this concept of prosody. What are the violins saying and why have the violins say it? And so you asked about, well, why the Steinway piano? And it's because to me, I wanted something more somber sounding than a Yamaha. A Yamaha is too punchy and too clear. And so to have an instrument that via its construction embodies just a little bit of that chaos that I'm really trying to reproduce in a beautiful musical form is prosody at its epitome. The piece that you're about to hear is the first movement of the Living on the Edge, I guess, triptych. And it's titled Andante Suave Doloroso, which means slowly and gently sorrowful, which is to how we wanted to reinterpret the song.
All right, let's listen.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. There's something wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. God knows it ain't hers. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the edge. We're living on the edge. We're living on the edge. There's something wrong with the world today. A light bulb's getting dim. There's meltdown in the sky. By the color of his skin, and Mister, you're a better man than I. We're living on the edge, living on the edge, living on the edge. Situation, complication, aggravation is
You left us with the song on a cliffhanger.
Uh-huh.
When will this cliffhanger be resolved, or do you have a plan for the rest of the suite? What's the future look like?
The goal is to have it wrapped up before the end of the year. The goal is to release it on vinyl. I believe I'll make it available via some kind of digital download. It's an ongoing project.
If people want to follow you as you progress through this process, is there like a email to contact you about future things, or?
Find me on Facebook, Adam Lansky.
L-A-N-S-K-Y.
That's right.